What I have to share with you today is very simple and direct, and there is nothing about any of us than more fundamental, that is more fundamental than what I have to share with you. Never will you hear a more direct message about the true nature of reality, a direct message that really has no adornment. In other words, it has nothing unnecessary added in. And it's spoken in a language that can't be missed. In other words, if we keep showing up here, we come to not only understand who we are, but actually to recognize that and realize it. The basis of all of our experience is awareness. There is no one who can deny that. No human being anywhere on earth can deny that awareness is the basis of experience. And that awareness that is the basis of every single experience is also complete freedom. When we simply rest as that basis of awareness in the immediacy of every perception, we realize we're always entirely free. That all of the perceptions that arise within awareness are awareness only. So a direct example of that is that, you know, anything we can say about anything at all, our thoughts, our feelings, our circumstances, other people, the constant in all of them is awareness. I am aware of my thoughts, I am aware of my emotions, I am aware of my body, I'm aware of a mind, I'm aware of other people. I'm aware of my birth, I'm aware of my death, I'm aware of my life. Whatever it is, the constant in all of that is awareness, and that cannot be denied. It's impossible to miss, absolutely impossible to miss. And this awareness is not a frame of reference or a position. It cannot be adequately described in words. Whenever it's taken up as a position, it limits it to being something. So now I'll give you a few examples of that. Sometimes awareness is talked about as emptiness. And then a position of emptiness is taken up. Because from the world of seeming opposites, we need to describe everything in terms of opposition, polarity, duality. So we grab onto this emptiness. Awareness is emptiness, and take up the position of emptiness. Or we take up the position of the natural presence of awareness, something like awareness is now, awareness is the moment, awareness is pure consciousness. Again, we've adopted a frame of reference. So all of these things I'm mentioning, if we take up a position of emptiness or a frame of reference of pure consciousness or natural presence or now or in the moment, we are limiting ourselves to an anomaly of point of view. It may be a deviation from the conventional point of view, but it's still point of view. Or we might take up the position that awareness is responsiveness. In other words, if we dedicate all of our actions to compassionate activity, that less and less are we involved with the idea of being a self who has all kinds of imagined consequences of characteristics. So whenever we take up a position anywhere, we also automatically put ourselves in a frame of reference of cause and effect. In other words, emptiness has to be felt, imagined, experienced, whatever. And if it isn't felt, imagined, or experienced as my direct reality, the consequence is I'm not awake, I'm not enlightened, I'm not free. Or it might be consciousness, pure well, what is aware of consciousness? Awareness is aware of consciousness. So you see, if we take up a position of pure consciousness, then there's going to be a whole frame of reference associated with that in order to keep it in place. For example, everything that appears is an illusion. Well, again, we have duality. We don't have non-duality. Because to be entirely free is to be free of all speculation. In other words, free of the speculation of whether the dynamic energy of awareness is existent or not. So it takes no position. It doesn't take a position of existence or of non-existence. It simply takes a position of no particular thing. And in that, all things are free. Because each perception, no matter what it is nothing but awareness. So another way to look at that is that when we can say to ourselves, I experience awareness as the basis of all my perceptions, I experience awareness, then our awareness is inseparable from all perceptions, just as the red of a ruby is inseparable from the stone itself. So when we rest as that awareness in the immediacy of every perception, less and less do we need to have all these descriptions of what's going on. And more it's okay for everything to be indescribable. To be indescribable, entirely open, naturally present, and totally indivisible, which is the true meaning of non-duality. If we take up a position anywhere, then we're no longer talking about non-duality. We're talking about a dualistic perception. So the freedom that we can guarantee ourselves is the freedom that's already the case. It's our own awareness. And our awareness, no matter what its perception is, it never is the label of that perception. It's always its underlying basis, awareness. So if we get caught up in the label, the word that's listed in the dictionary, then it seems like we're going to have all kinds of fearful consequences related to that label. Say we have the perception of anger or desire, jealousy, sadness, grief, hopelessness, no matter what it is. If we adopt that label we're using to describe awareness, then we will be lost in believing that that is something. So, you know, the only way to come to terms with ourselves, to really face ourselves as we are, is to simply rest as that awareness in the immediacy of perception. And this awareness, even if you've never directly experienced it or don't think you have, is immediately accessible. It's immediately accessible through your own direct experience. When a point of view arises within you, it doesn't have to be any special point of view. Just be aware of it arising. It's awareness of itself. So it's not awareness of something else, it's awareness as itself. There's no freedom that is separate or apart from awareness as whatever the perception is. So if we try to do away with perceptions, all we're doing is creating more points of view. Now it's the point of view of trying to do away with the points of view. So, you know, that would be endless. You know, that just cranks out endless points of view, no matter what they are. So, you know, when we rest as our true nature, we have tremendous benefit from that. We have benefit for ourselves as individuals, and we benefit our world. And that doesn't come about in a contrived way that can be characterized or developed. So the benefit that comes from living as awareness cannot be contrived. In other words, we can't cook up compassion. We can't fashion together compassion out of a bunch of points of view. We can't fashion together wisdom out of a bunch of points of view. It's impossible that that be the case, because compassion and wisdom are inherent as awareness. Awareness is the wellspring. They're already learned, so to speak. They don't need to be learned. They're innate, inherent, always the case, already accomplished, but can't be tapped into without resting as awareness. We'll remain completely oblivious to them unless we rest as awareness. Yesterday I was talking about no more learning. So, you know, many times there's a position about awakening that's taken up, and it's a position of awareness only. Awareness only. Everything happens spontaneously. Do whatever you will. You know, the body is just a food body. It's a functioning of the totality. It has no control over itself. Everything within it happens spontaneously. So if you're lusting after everybody in town and going for it, then that's just the way it is. And, you know, everything's happening spontaneously. If you're smoking cigarettes and you feel you can't stop, then that's just the way it is. And, you know, if you're gorging yourself with food, that's the way it is. And, you know, if you have a thing about money and you're stealing people's money, or you're being miserly, or you're spending too much, or you have too much, you know, that's the way it is. Everything happens spontaneously. Well, this is a very limited and perverse perspective that is a total anomaly of point of view. And, you know, this has never been the case. This great tradition of who we are as human beings, our true nature, has been handed down unerringly from generation to generation. And in the pinnacle teachings, as in the great freedom teaching, they have always stated the same thing. And that is that we know we're complete in our true nature. We know we're absolutely complete, that we've arrived, so to speak, when suddenly there is the unleashing of great benefit. So this great benefit is not just doing good works or being a benefit to the whole or truly living a life for the sake of others, but this benefit is something that is totally amazing. It's totally amazing. It's a reality where nothing needs to be learned. And even though that may seem inconceivable to some of you, or perhaps it doesn't, what it means is that anything you need to know, you know in its fullness, and you know how to execute it or carry it out. Now, you know, what could be more of a basis for incredible decision making, for clarity in all relationships? So, you know, we're talking about something entirely practical, not something that's cut off from life, but something that enhances our lives no matter what kind of life we have. And we don't have to make it into anything. We don't have to make it into a matter of spirituality or religion or needing to go to a certain place to be it or needing to put our body into a certain posture in order to get it or anything else. It's already the case, already accomplished. And the only way to tap into this incredible resource of who we are is to simply rest as awareness. And as we do so, all of the reality of no more learning becomes obvious to us. And in this reality of no more learning, we find solutions that couldn't possibly be patched together from point of view, in no matter what situation we're in. If it's a personal relationship, if it's we're at work, or, you know, we're the president of our company, or an electrical engineer, or the secretary, or whatever it is we're doing, every single movement of our day is enriched by the reality of our bare awareness with nothing going on. Because there are no stories going on about anything. There's no story going on about anything. Everything is one basic space that is entirely aware. So there's nothing to fend off, and there's nothing to draw towards us. Everything is in a reality of wholly positive perfection at all times. And when I say that, I don't mean that we're adopting some kind of Pollyanna attitude. What I'm referring to and pointing out is that as the nature of each of us, we have a solidity of being that cannot be affected by anything. And when we rest as that solidity of being in each perception, we realize more and more that that's who we are. And from that solidity of being, we move in the world without ever moving. Without ever moving. And as we move in the world, more and more our actions are so laser-like, so precise in every single detail of our life, that they have a wholly positive nature. And without us trying to do anything, it all comes from rest. So, you know, whereas many of us have learned that we have to work to get anything good, here we're faced with rest. With rest as the great natural resource, the greatest of all natural resources, the natural resource that can never be depleted. So, you know, how many people have used a Word document, or how many have been on the internet? That may be more likely. Well, you know how when you go on the internet, there's all kinds of information everywhere. And you might Google something and you get a list of search results. And in that list of search results, there'll be all kinds of things that you never thought of that are related to whatever the search topic is that you're Googling. And so all of a sudden, a whole new world opens up to you, all from the stroke of a key. You know, so this is what resting naturally is. It's like stroking that key that just unleashes all kinds of things that never could have been imagined. So you see, we have many metaphors that we're creating all over the place about the nature of our reality. But what's also true about anything we Google or any information that we see when we're on the internet, what's so about it is that it's nothing but pure space. It's nothing but pure space. We can't say anything about what's occurring on the internet other than it's pure space. If we took every single thing going on with the internet, all of its electronic technology, servers, routers, PCs, bits and bytes, and we reduced it all to its essence, we'd find a string of zeros and ones, you know, and if we smash those in a linear accelerator, we'd find nothing. You know, so all of the internet, just like everything else, is pure space. Taking it to be anything is imagined. And the imagination is wonderful. It's the dynamic expression of awareness, but that doesn't make it into all these things as some kind of a concrete entity. It's wondrous, but at the same time, it's totally unnecessary in terms of our well-being. So whether we have the internet, whether we have the safety of the country we live in with the army that's defending us, whether we have our health, whether we have a partner, whether we have a great hairdo or the right clothes or a car or a job or whatever it is, whether we have those or not, we're totally free. We're totally free. We're free in any circumstance. We're free if we have them. We're free if we don't have them. So, you know, on the basis of that, just this single thing, that everything is because we are aware of it. All experience is rooted in awareness. There is not one single thing that we can say about ourselves that does not begin with awareness. I always tell people, if you keep showing up here very quickly, you won't remember when you didn't know this about yourself. You won't remember when you didn't know it about yourself. There are a couple people who aren't here today, but they've just been a few times, and they have been very involved in a practice for 12 years of being aware of their breath. And they came here for a few days, and they realized the constant in that is awareness, and it's like they're both just totally free now. So, you know, there's nothing to be aware of other than awareness as awareness. No matter what the perception is, if it's awareness of breath, it's awareness as breath. It's awareness as itself with a fancy label, like putting ornaments on a Christmas tree or whatever it is. So all of the appearances, all of the dynamic energy of awareness, it's nothing other than the luminosity of awareness. It can't be separated out from awareness ever. So there's no thought that needs to be changed, no emotional state that needs to be changed, no circumstance that needs to be changed in order to realize who we are. In fact, if we go and we try to change our circumstance, we're just going to be putting together more and more points of view. Because, we decide, in order to realize who I am, I'm going to have to leave my family. And I'm going to have to move to India and sit in a cave, or move to India, or go to India and sit with a guru, or whatever it is. Well, then we're going to have so many more points of view to deal with. We're going to have all the points of view about what we left behind and all the people we hurt. Plus, we're going to have to adjust to this new way of life in another country. We're going to have a whole new set of points of view we have to deal with. So you see, if we feel we need to change anything, we're on a complete detour. We're just on a complete detour. Everything about us has always been awareness. It's never been any different than that. And that awareness is a wholly positive basic space that is vast. It's never been limited to something like a trash compactor called a body that's a thing where you pour in all kinds of points of view and it pounds them into something. This has never occurred. Everything always is awareness that's entirely free. So we're always completely free in our own place. And whatever situation we're in that we feel is limiting our freedom, that's the perfect situation to realize our freedom. If we can realize that where we feel our freedom is limited by being in that situation, then we realize it about everything. So, everything is because we are aware of it. A plus B equals zero. Nothing. No thing. So, that's really all I have to say. I keep saying the same thing over and over again, right? Questions?
What brings you to Rishikesh?
What brings me here? Pardon?
There's a reason for that.
There's a reason for that?
Yeah.
Oh, I go wherever I'm invited. In one form or another. And there's a very strong response here, not only among Westerners, but also Indians and Nepalese and Tibetans. So the teachings being translated into those languages. And we have a Hindi meeting here at 12:30. And we've developed some special ways to get the teaching out to the Indian people, all Indian people, not just, freedom isn't class bound or caste bound. So many, when we first came to India, many of the people, the Indians coming to the teaching, really wanted to come to the daily teachings but found it impossible because they're working 20 hours a day. One day 16 women, Indian women, came to the meeting, and I said, well, I'll be here every day, keep coming back. And one of them raised her hand and she said, every day I try to sell at least one thing in my shop and I'm there all day long. And she said, if I get to sell something, I can buy an apple. And then I take a bite of the apple and I give a bite of the apple to each member of my family. Then I have to go back to work to buy another apple. She said, I cannot come to these meetings, but I really want to know more about this. So we developed just a simple daily lesson that we distribute through a variety of means. And this allows, and then we have a lot of personal contact with people. We have an account at an internet shop so people who don't have the money can go in and download daily lessons from our website, or the people at the internet shop download them and print them and hand them out. And, you know, so we've developed quite a large Indian community in this area as well. So, you know, the Great Freedom community is very focused on this consummate freedom of awareness for everyone in the world spoken in a common language, but that is not our sole focus. Our sole focus is this awareness that effuses great benefit. So one of the things most people notice when they come to the Great Freedom community for the first time is the warmth of the people who have been here. And I notice this too, there's such a warmth and such a freedom of relationality, because there's no one, you know, who's cut off. Once you're entirely free, you're in love with everyone. You know, there's no one left out. And so when we go to different areas of the world, we don't really have a preconceived idea about what we're going to be doing there. We see what's wanted and needed. We really are present with that, and then we respond. So that's an answer to your question. Did you have an idea about why I'm here, George?
No, because we are 20 meters from here, so I don't know.
Oh.
We always get what we need.
Isn't it something?
Stages of further realization, or so on. You know, normally in tradition, they say there are like 7 levels and then like that sort of thing. Anything like that, your experience?
If I tried to put it into stages, I could. But it doesn't really have any stages. See, we already are who we are. But our awareness of ourselves being that may seem like it appears in stages. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, you know, I realize that it is never increasing. It just always is. But yet what I do say about it is that it's wondrous, you know. And you can say that too, because you know who you are to a significant degree. So you know that it's just more and more wondrous all the time. It's really amazing. And, you know, we could call it increasing or changing or greater knowledge or all kinds of things. Like, I never know what I'm going to say when I show up in one of these meetings, but all these things come out and I say exactly the same thing, but somehow yet they're always fresh. So, you know, how do you describe that? Whereas, you know, we learn that if we want to speak publicly, we have to take a speech class, make an outline, you know, look up all these things to make sure we know everything we're going to talk about, and then get up there with our knees shaking and quivering, you know, worried about what everyone's thinking of us and what we're going to say, and then we spit it out. But, you know, when we rest as awareness, we're just entirely free. I grew up as a loner. You know, I didn't really like to be around people. I had 5 brothers and sisters, plus my mother and dad and other people working around the house. But, you know, all I wanted to do was be alone. And look at me now. So, you know, we just are who we are. And when we realize who we are, it takes on an unimaginable reality. So, you know, that's really all I have to say about it. I do see that in myself, my own direct experience of being totally free for 24 years, and also in the countless others I've seen come to this freedom in the last 24 years, that usually when people come, they either have no idea about who they are, or some idea of who they are, or some idea of who they are based on erroneous ideas. So first, people get comfortable with the reality that they are awareness, just like all of us have to one degree or another. So first that has to be accepted or understood about ourselves. We have to say yes now or maybe, like, yes, I'm going for it, I'm awareness, and I'm going to prove it to myself. Or, no, I don't want to have anything to do with this, I like my life from point of view, and so I'm just going to go on my way. Or we say maybe, well, maybe, you know, I'll look into it, I'll go to a few more of these meetings. So there has to be the introduction. And then if we say yes, we have to make a commitment to it. We have to make a commitment to the freedom and immediate perception. And then we never know when we're going to be entirely free. We could come to one meeting like this, hear one thing, and that would be it. Or come several times, or, you know, so it can be gradual or not. And usually for most people, then the next thing that's realized in a very tangible way is that all perceptions are included within awareness. And it isn't just understood, it's recognized and realized in all perceptions. And then the final realization, so to speak, is just the realization that one is a wholly positive basic space that is aware, that nothing is separate, nothing is excluded, and nothing ever has been excluded or separate. There's never been any kind of split or division of any kind. So it's very simple. You know, many of these things, seven stages, this way of looking at it, that way of looking at it, many of these contexts were formulated in a culturally specific way. So the language used, the way the awakening or true nature, a complete freedom was described, is very culturally specific, but doesn't apply to a global human community. So, you know, the great freedom teaching is in a language any human being can understand. None of us, no one anywhere in the world can say they're not aware. And everyone is aware of a variety of experiences. And when we rest as that awareness, we feel more freedom in the immediacy of all perceptions. So even if you're here, you know, today and you're wiggling around in your chair, you can't wait to get out of here. Just allow yourself to be free in that perception of wiggling around in your chair and wanting to get out of here as fast as possible. Whatever's going on, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to bludgeon any of your points of view to try to get rid of them. And you don't have to put together a big bouquet of good ones either to realize who you are. Just everything that's going on only is awareness. It's only there because of awareness, and it doesn't need to be called anything. Just the awareness of it is enough. And just this awareness and resting as this awareness, what I describe as wholly positive basic space that is entirely aware, it just becomes obvious on its own. You don't need to do anything. Any ideas you have about what it feels like, what it might be like, it won't be like any of that. Everything will change, but nothing will change. That's the way it is. So, you know, the changes are that we realize this fundamental solidity of the ground of our own being. And that fundamental solidity of the ground of our own being can't be affected by anything. And no matter how awesome we feel we've been at living life, we'll be even more awesome. So, you know, what could be better than that? We all want to be good people. We all want to understand the profound meaning of being human. This is the most direct way to take it on. The most direct way. You know, we can make up all kinds of descriptions about what awareness is, but why bother? Why bother? Why not just rest and allow everything about ourselves to reveal itself as it is? Any questions?
When I have what I see, the glitches of this, like I've had tiny little glitches and then it's gone. And then, but a couple of times in the last few days, I've had a sustained sort of, and then it sort of scares me and I freak out and I sort of pop myself out of it. Does that mean I'm on the wrong track or is that just possibly normal?
That's normal. You'll get used to it. You'll get used to it. It's just like, you know, say you lived in, where do you live?
Sydney,
that's right. Say you moved to New York City. So you'd be in an entirely different environment. And you knew you were going to have to live there the rest of your life. So you knew you'd have to get used to it. Well, at first it would seem a little jarring, probably. There would be a lot of things you would feel you had to adjust to. This is the same thing, you know. It's like realizing something about yourself that's already present. And it's so amazing. You know, it's just so amazing that this could actually be the case after everything you've taken yourself to be, that it may take a while to get used to it. That's okay. You know, it's a simple human matter. It's not some kind of weird reality or state that you're trying to induce or put yourself in. If that's going on, then it's just a point of view. It may be a very exalted point of view, but it's still a point of view.
Some teachers talk about having to do the work to get to an awakened state of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about you had this 10-day period. Now, I'm wondering, well, perhaps because you were very successful before in business and maybe other aspects of your life, I don't know. Maybe perhaps the work, the build-up through your life prior to this 10 days, that you were constantly getting to the top of whatever you were doing, whereas if someone like me is fundamentally lazy, basically gets halfway with things and goes on to something else, that perhaps then it was a lot easier for you to go through that 10, or to in that 10-day thing, you'd already done the work in your business life and the other aspects of your life.
Are you trying to prove you're not like me? I know what you're up to. You can't prove you're not like me. Don't even try. You see, here's the great thing about awareness. If you take yourself to be lazy, if you take yourself to be the most brilliant person in the world who's so much better than everyone else that they fall in your wake, it doesn't matter. You're aware of whatever that is, aware of lazy, aware of brilliant, aware of mediocre, aware of whatever it is. So the constant in all of that is awareness. You know, this has been true for all the pinnacle teachings throughout time. It doesn't matter whether you're a dullard or you're a genius. It really doesn't. It really doesn't. So, you know, don't try to delete yourself from the picture by some kind of thing you've taken yourself to be, like lazy. I'm totally happy you're lazy. You're in the right place and you're a suitable candidate for full out awakening. This is the company where everyone's a star. The company of truth. You see, no one can ever be deleted from the truth. There's not a trash bin that we can just move certain perceptions or people into and then get rid of them forever because they don't fit some kind of concept of awareness. So, you know, what I'm telling you, the reason my experience is important to you is that I knew nothing about complete freedom. So I didn't have any ideas about anything I was going for. I just hated my existence. I didn't like the thoughts I was having or the emotional states either. All the success I'd marshaled together in every single area of my life left me feeling totally vacant, and I was a young woman with decades of my life to live, and that was totally unacceptable to me. None of my strategies or solutions could make sense of it. So in that total hopelessness and powerlessness, I gave up, and in that giving up, I realized that all of these perceptions I was firing off had an underlying basis. I didn't even know what to call it. I just knew that it was complete relief. So, you know, that's good news for every human being, because I didn't have to do anything to get it. And neither does anyone else. You know, we always are entirely free. So, you know, if someone is saying to you, pointing to awakening, and they're saying you have to do a lot of work in order to purify yourself or prepare yourself or demolish your ego or stop being fixated, identified with, or attached to certain perceptions, then, you know, that's not really a teaching of awakening. Do you see what I'm saying? In fact, it's like speaking with a forked tongue. Awakening is being pointed to, but what's really being talked about, so non-duality is being pointed to, but the whole setup is dualistic. You know, these perceptions I'm sharing here require very little discernment. They require, like, discernment 101. So, you know, if we're being told anything, that we have to get into a certain state like now, or we have anything going on with us that's keeping us from being entirely free, like an ego, a psychology, a pain body, or any of this other stuff, all these are perceptions, and it's only awareness of those perceptions that gives them any validity or reality at all. So why not rest in the constancy of the perception, no matter what it is? If we're having visions of Shiva, why not rest in the perception of the awareness of that vision? If we're having, you know, awareness of ourselves as some kind of powerhouse electrical engineer who's shaping the whole future of the world through the internet or whatever it is, what's true about that? So, you know, we envision a God outside ourselves or a God within ourselves, the powerful engineer or Shiva or Lakshmi or whatever it is. Awareness, awareness, awareness. Awareness of pure consciousness, awareness of noumena, awareness of phenomena, awareness, awareness, awareness. That's all there is, and that's what we can really prove. This is what we can rely on about ourselves. We cannot rely on anything else. None of these perceptions can we uphold ad infinitum. You know, it's impossible. None of them are infinite. None of them have a quality of satisfaction or fulfillment in their label. The reification of perception is a dead end. we can reify everything to the end of the world, you know, have this wondrous display of our own awareness, but do we buy into it as the total reality of our existence? If we do, it's like living on the head of a pin. You know, if we do, we limit the reality of our life to such a fraction of what is true about ourselves. If we don't rest as awareness, then, you know, we never realize the true wonder of what we're meant to be as a human being. So, you know, it's entirely up to us. It's entirely up to us. I could sit here gabbing 24 hours a day. I could tell you about the reality of my own life, the reality of my own direct experience. I can inspire to no end, but unless you take it upon yourself to be entirely free in your perceptions, there will be no freedom. It can't, you know, it can't occur. What can occur here is that you can not only hear the reality of who you are and guard it like you guard your eyes, because it becomes the way you see, and you'd never try to damage your eyes, and you can also not only hear and take this in that way on the level of understanding, recognition, and realization, not only relying on your mental capacities to do that, but to take advantage of the felt sense of yourself that is available here. You know, that can't be compared. It's just like you're saying, you know, you have this whole new reality that has opened up to you, and it's expanding, it's growing, it's viral, you know, it's taking over everything. it's so real that it can't be denied. Well, you know, that's okay. You know, just allow yourself to settle in, to bask in the reality of what you are. It's nothing to be afraid of. Even though it may feel very new, it's nothing to be afraid of. Or maybe you've realized who you are for a long time or had some idea about that, but here all of a sudden you realize a lot more about what that is. It's all okay, you know. Whatever it is, it's okay. There aren't any, we don't have to get out our big eraser and erase any of our perceptions to make everything okay. You know, like those erasers in a cartoon that are about the size of a car. The points of view, all the perceptions, are countless and ceaseless through the dynamic energy of awareness. We can say, you know, that they're empty and that they have no underlying basis other than awareness. We can say that they're an illusion. They're like an illusion, a mirage, a hallucination, a dream. But that doesn't mean we're negating anything. It means that we're saying, I am awareness only. I don't need to take up a position about either their existence or their non-existence. In my reality as awareness, I don't need to take a position about anything, because everything's already free in its own place. Everything is completely liberated upon arising as the dynamic energy of my own awareness. This is complete freedom, where there's no idea about anything. When you're in one of those situations where you feel like everything falls apart, be free in everything falling apart. It's just like, you know, say that perception comes up. Do you want to give a specific example of something that comes up in your relationship? It's much more valuable to you if you will come out of the closet here and share a specific example.
I think the really tough stuff for me is actually the self-criticism that I get into. Just, you know, thinking I'm not good enough or I'm not lovable.
When that comes up, that you're not good enough and you're not lovable, it's probably a perception you've had over and over throughout your life. And maybe something happens, like first you feel some kind of sensation in your body, and then you've always associated this next point of view with it, that you're unlovable or you're not good enough. So when that comes up, whether it's the sensation first and then it's described as something, or whether it's just the description, when that comes up, just rest naturally without getting into it and making it into something. See, if it comes up and then you get into it, you'll spin out a whole story about it. How long you've had this, whether this relationship's ever going to work out, whether you're ever going to be good enough at your job, or for your mother and father, or for your wife, or children, or whatever it is. But if when that perception comes up, you rest, you'll see that that perception vanishes naturally, leaving no trace. Just like, you know, a cloud moving through the sky, or an airplane moving through the sky, or the flight path of a bird. They vanish naturally, leaving no trace. Like the wake of a boat in the ocean completely vanishes naturally, leaving no trace. If you draw a line in water, it vanishes naturally, leaving no trace. All perceptions are like this. When you rest in the ground of your being, rest is the ground of your being, you notice more and more that that perception is like that, that it vanishes naturally, leaving no trace. And as you do, as you're resting in awareness and that perception vanishes naturally, leaving no trace, there is a vivid sense of wakefulness. A vivid sense of wakefulness that includes and contains all these perceptions. And then you see that this next perception arises as that awareness as well. Everything, you know, the perception itself, the interval, the next perception, it all arises in this pristine, vivid wakefulness. So you see, these points of view or perceptions that are the most difficult are often the most freeing, because they demand of us that we come to rest as them. So, you know, we're not trying to do away with any of these perceptions. We're realizing the freedom and the immediacy of the perception. Something more about that? Simon, something more from you?
So all self-talk is unnecessary, like discounting, oh, I'm not resting, I have to dismiss this, discount this, and reorient. Not this,
not that.
Just like, shut it all off.
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's impossible.
It's impossible to keep it all going, you know? Of trying to parse and nuance every single perception. It's In one word, it's insanity.
In one word,
it's insanity.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, just relax, be totally at ease. That's what we're meant to be as human beings. And in that complete ease is all knowledge. So this word omniscience, all-knowing, is synonymous with complete ease. Everyone already knows everything. There's only one awareness, not a bunch of little cubby holes of awareness in each person. So this awareness that is emanates all knowledge, no matter what it is. All knowledge, no matter what it is an emanation of your own awareness. Just because you may, to one degree or another, have, you know, looked at everything as being outside yourself, now you're taking a look at yourself as encompassing of everything you've been looking at. So it's just, for example, most of us learn, oh, you know, here I am, I'm a human being in the world, and there are all the other human beings, they're separate and apart from me, and here's the world, it's separate and apart from me too. I better watch out for a lot of this stuff because it can get me. Not only can these things get me that are external, but wow, internally, there's lots of stuff that can get me there too. All my weird thinking and emotional states that pop up out of nowhere, all that can get me too. And then, you know, there's the whole thing of the universe. Well, you know, that's a big thing and it's outside me. And the galaxies and solar systems, black holes. Oh, wow, you know, it's coming at me from everywhere. But, you know, this is just something that's learned. These aren't our own ideas at all. They're all things we've adopted from other people. There isn't one idea I mentioned that hasn't been adopted based upon what someone else has said about what's true. So when we start to ground ourselves in our own awareness as the basis of everything, we realize more and more that everything that we've learned to be outside ourselves is inside us. It's inside the scope of our awareness. And that basic space, that holy positive basic space, includes all perceptions. All perceptions are included and contained within it. The perception of your own body, the perception of your own mind, the perception of thoughts, feelings, emotional states, the perception of not being good enough, the perception of doubts about this and that, the perceptions of all wondrous things. All these are included and contained within our awareness. But do any of these things actually exist as a solid entity that can be shown to have an existence in and of itself? No, no matter what they are. You know, are you married to the woman you came in with? Well, you're here with her, that's enough. So, well, you know, she was here, seemingly, and now she's not here, right? But that's going on all the time. Very seldom are you aware of her being here. You know, you're only aware, Beck, that's her name, right? You're aware of Beck being here only when you're aware of Beck being here. But most of the time, it's an assumption, which is also a point of view. So, you know, the same is true about your own body. Very seldom do you have the perception, wow, I'm a body. You know, I got this body going on. Very seldom, you see, it's an assumption, which is also a point of view. So not only rarely is there the assumption or the perception that there is a body, but also rarely is there the assumption that there's a body. So all we can ever say about any of these things is awareness. Awareness is body, speech, and mind, period. Exclamation point. Awareness is body, speech, and mind. The vast expanse of awareness is body, speech, and mind. When we rest as awareness and we locate ourselves in the non-location of awareness, then we know so much more about our own individual expression of that vast body, speech, and mind. That's a life that's worth living, you know. That's a life that's fun, so to speak, enjoyable. So, you know, in the traditional Buddhist writings, for example, the pinnacle teaching of Buddhism, which is Dzogchen, which is a very direct message of truth, this is called the complete enjoyment body. The complete enjoyment body. Inclusive of everything. Just as you would no longer cut off your hand, you wouldn't cut out any perception such as I'm not good enough. Everything is equal. All of holy positive basic space is an expanse of equalness and evenness in which nothing is left out. All perceptions, no matter what they are empty, pure, and wholly positive. They're wholly positive in that they're always entirely free. Free as awareness. Do you hear in what I'm saying that this is the end of all concepts? Like if you find yourself trying to describe what I'm saying or speculate about it intellectually or describing it in any way, all of a sudden it starts to feel a little uncomfortable and painful. Because who we are, it just can't be described. It's just much too magnificent to be limited to a description. Are there any other questions? Ravi? So,
even the practice of self-inquiry is kind of a remembering to see that it's all relative reality or illusion.
Yeah. No more effort. Oh, you can. I've had many inquirers come here, including gurus.
Including?
Including gurus.
Oh, yeah.
Who share about inquiry, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's all okay, you know, whatever it is, we're here now, so. And say, you know, we have been practicing something like inquiry of one kind or another, or like the people who were here who practiced awareness of their breath for 12 years. all of that has honed our sense of our own awareness to one degree or another. So, you know, we've been served completely by whatever we've been pursuing that is part of our path to truth. But, you know, at some point, everything falls away. You know, everything, all of the efforts we've been making to try to know who we are, they completely collapse into basic space. And that is delicious. You know, that's what we want to happen. That's what we've been going for all along. Yeah. We'll sit together for a few minutes.